I want to live, you know, do I want to keep my kids here in Stanley where they know their friends and small school, or do I want to move to Fredericton? And one of the reasons I stayed up here was because I knew that my kids had a close relationship with their teachers. I wanted them to stay in a, you know, I like the way it works here now. Elementary is one section, high school is another section. They're two separate schools, and they work as two separate schools. And that was where my children were in middle and high school, I guess. So now I have a child grade two. And if I had to start all over again, and I had to start thinking, what school do I want my grade two child to go to? I don't know if I'd really want, thinking about it, I don't know if I'd want to put my child in an elementary school where they're going to be, you know, every day in the same school with high school and middle school kids. I just know because with two adult children at home, you know, the language isn't all that great sometimes, and they see things that, you know, he sees things that he's exposed to things that other younger children generally aren't. So my situation is a little bit different because I have that at home. But it's one of those things for sure that I think that parents would take into consideration when they want to enroll their child into school.
Thank you.
Any more questions? All right, thank you for the presentation. Stanley High, PSSC.
Could you ask, is that a whole microphone? Because it's not registering the recording. Yes.
My name is Noel Carr, and I'm the chair for the Stanley High School, PSSC. I have two daughters here in the school, many other children that are involved and connected with our lives, so we have quite an interest in what happens here. I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to come out, and a big thank you to the DEC members. I know you've got three of these studies going on, and they're extremely time-consuming, so we very much appreciate you listening to what we have to say tonight and present to you. So the position of the high school, PSSC, is that we are in favor of maintaining two schools within one complex. So that's the status quo, the way it exists today. The reasons for this are the negative impacts that we feel it's going to have on the health and safety of the students, on the quality education and services to our students, and on the negative impact of staff, and by extension, the students. And the final reason is insufficient information on the actual outcome of consolidating the two schools. So I'm going to speak a little bit to each of these points. As an aside, there were many other reasons. There's a lot of information that we had to take into account and consider. I'm sure you've been doing the same. These were the ones that we decided to focus on. We tried to keep them in line with the areas that you're supposed to be looking at when you look at the 409 policy, 29, whatever it is. So hopefully that'll help you with your review, that we've kept them in line with that. So the first thing is about health and safety, and we speak a little bit to the elementary and the secondary school. One of the first things, and some of these results probably come from the same information that Wendy had pulled, and all this information, these student outcomes and the surveys and so forth, are all public information. They've come from the DEC site or the district site. If anybody wants to look things up or fact check any of the numbers. So on the elementary side, one of the things that we looked at there was how safe do the students feel? The district and so forth do different surveys and actually ask the students themselves how they feel about their environment and many different aspects of the school. You saw some of the numbers Wendy had up. One of the ones we looked at was what percentage feels safe. And you'll see that at Stanley Elementary, I believe the number was 94. It's very close to 95% of the students feel safe in their environment here. I've compared them against five other schools. These are the five other schools in our district that we were told are also K-12 schools. So I didn't just randomly pick five schools. I picked five schools that look like what an amalgamation would have us become to see how we compared against them. So you can see that on the elementary side, for safety, we fared very well. Our students are feeling safe and secure, much more so than some of the other schools that are quite K-12. We also took a peek at the bullying rate that comes from the Tell Them For Me surveys that they do. You can see our rate is the lowest as compared to those other five schools that are K-12. We're at 14%. Three of the remaining five are as high as 27%. So we think that speaks very well to how secure and how low the bullying rates are here in Stanley. We looked at the same things on the secondary side, so secondary being our middle school, high school. The percentage that feels safe, there wasn't as much variance, it seemed, amongst the high schools or the secondary schools. But Stanley, again, was doing better than Cambridge, Narrows, Canterbury, Heartland, John Caldwell, or St. Mary's, coming right around 90% for that. When we looked at the bullying rate, a little bit higher than St. Mary's, quite a bit higher than St. Mary's, very much on par with Canterbury, Heartland, and John Caldwell, and then Cambridge was quite a bit above us at 33%. So certainly not the best in the bullying category on the secondary side, but I do know from my work with the PSSC that this is one of the issues that we get reported in our principal reports. It's something that gets discussed often. There's a lot of focus on the bullying and trying to address that. We feel that 26% is higher than it should be, and I know that this school is certainly working towards that. I think a result of combining the two schools would be drawing some of the focus away from some of the efforts that are going to improve that bullying number, because the focus would be spread across other issues too, because the elementary has different issues that they would have to look at as well. So what we have now is working. Students of both Stanley Elementary and Stanley High School feel secure. As a PSSC, we don't feel that we see no reason to make a change that might jeopardize this. Having safe, secure students is extremely important, and we've got it. The second area that we looked at was the quality education and services. We focused a little bit more on the secondary school here, although we do mention a few things about the elementaries. The first one is about savings. I was here the night that Mr. McTimony gave his presentation, and certainly, as a PSSC, we've looked into the numbers. One thing that's become very evident is this really isn't about the savings that are going to be achieved. The total cost of the elementary school, $817,014. These numbers came from documents that Mr. McKinney provided on the sustainability website. The total cost for the high school, $1,365,444. That gives us combined costs of $2,182,458. The annual savings after year three, and the reason that that's after year three is because right now we do have contracts with the principals that carry on for a couple of more years. Those are going to have to be paid out either way, so we're not going to see the savings until after those 2 years are over. And what was posted at the time I did my presentation was $18,705. It has come to my attention that since I prepared my presentation, the annual savings, the projected annual savings number has changed. I think we saw it in Wendy's presentation. It's around 53,000 now. I didn't go back and change my slide. My thoughts are still the same with that, you know, with the number in there. Obviously, the percentages change a little bit, but I also think the fact that that number's changing speaks a little bit to our fourth point, that our fourth area of concern, is that we don't know enough about what this is going to look like when we're combined. There's a lot of unanswered questions about savings and full-time equivalents and things like that. The fact that this number changed from the time I prepared my presentation till a few weeks later, I think just shows we've got a bit of a moving target there, and maybe it's not solid. We don't really know what this amalgamation is going to look like. So with my number in there, as a percentage of combined cost, that was 0.85%. That's less than 1% on 2 million combined costs. There's no indication that this 1% saving is going to go back and be reinvested into quality education services for our students. And trying to achieve these savings is going to have other negative impacts from what the PSSC has looked at. One of those impacts is the delivery of education services. Scheduling. So currently, right now, we're scheduling one set of teachers around middle school programming and high school programming. So at the beginning of the year, for one of our first PSSC meetings, the principal does report to us about the staffing, where they are, what the term's going to look like, how they're spread out between middle and high school, and so forth. So I know that's fairly complicated when we're looking at how to work around middle school programming, how to work around high school programming. Combining the schools is going to mean that we're going to be scheduling one set of teachers around three distinct programming needs. We're going to have our elementary, we're going to have our middle school, and we're going to have our high school. It's already challenging. Adding more factors is not going to improve delivery of the service to the students. School improvement plans. Sixth, the role of the PSSC is to review the improvement plan. The elementary, I've been on the PSSC in the elementary as well as the high school, and I can tell you that the plans are very different. They have a different focus. They have different priorities. Combining the schools is either going to water down these plans, so they're not quite as effective as they could be, or it's going to make them large, complex, and unmanageable. There's no way to bring all of the pieces that are in both the elementary plan and the high school plan together without either making it really complicated or trying to oversimplify it. Logistics. So this is on the ground, everyday, day-to-day stuff. The lunch hours, the shared spaces, the busing, the supervision of the students, your bell schedules, your prep times, your field trips, your parent-teacher meetings, your professional development conferences, attention halls, tutoring, school activities, sports activities, community use of schools, and I could go on, but I ran out of room on my slide. These are the day-to-day things that the teachers, the administration, the staff, they all have to handle. They have to have them working pretty flawlessly so that students have services delivered to them in the way they should, that they end up being where they're supposed to be, that they're always supervised, and it's complicated. Right now, they have this working very well between the two schools. Each school manages their own issues, and it's sorted out, and it works really well here at Stanley. I think the PSSC felt that the time and the resources that would be go into trying to reconfigure all of this and all that's not listed on the screen would just be a waste of both time and resources. The next thing that we considered was subject matter and age. So as a PSSC, we've seen the challenges of finding teachers that can teach across the subjects as is required in a small school. You have your math teachers are great at math, they're very strong at math. They've got to be great and strong at some other things too when you're in a small school. They're not only going to be teaching math. Combining the schools is going to further require that teachers can now teach across age groups and maturity levels. The skill sets called upon to manage a group of 6-year-olds and a group of 16-year-olds vary greatly. So trying to find teachers that have that skill set, never mind the difference in the level of the education that you're trying to transfer, it's just going to add another challenge that we think is going to make delivery to the students less beneficial than it is now. Your negative impact on the staff, which by effect is going to have a negative impact on the students. So school positions from 2 down to 1. That does seem to be one thing we're very sure of, that this will happen. Right now, today, in the elementary, there's one principal for 104 students. And in the high school side, we have one for 148. So you combine those, you're going to have one principal for 252 students. That's an increase in responsibility for 70% more students based on the high school numbers, or more than twice as many students based on the elementary school numbers. So we're really increasing the responsibility that's going to be falling on principal. This slide speaks to one of the things that was on our principal report. This was actually on the principal report at our last PSSC meeting. I didn't go back digging, looking for hot topics. I went to our last meeting. I said, what are the kinds of things that we're addressing? And this is the conversation that PSSC had. And one of the things we were talking about, or that was being reported to us, was the school's concerns about drug use in the high school and middle school. I'm pretty sure that that wasn't on the PSSC agenda for the elementary school. The things that we're concerned, that the high school is concerned about, the elementary school is concerned about, they're different. Another thing that was in our principal report at our last meeting was a policy update on the use of electronics. Why were we looking at this policy about the use of electronics? Why is it important to the PSSC and the high school? Because bullying, cyberbullying, you saw our bullying numbers there earlier, is a concern at Stanley Middle School, Stanley High School. It's got to do with their handheld devices and their phones. It's happening in school, it's happening outside the school, it's happening from home, but it's affecting the students that are in the school, and it's one of the things that's coming up with us at the PSSC when we're getting our principal reports. Again, I doubt very much that that's as high on the agenda on the elementary side. So all of this is to speak to the point that we kind of have different worlds here. The issues that the principals need to deal with between the elementary and the high schools, they're vastly different. We're not only, if we amalgamate, doubling the students that the principals are responsible for, we're also doubling the issues that they're going to be responsible for. So the added stress that this is going to put on a sole principal of a combined school is not going to be beneficial for the administration, for the staff, or for the students. And the last topic area that I want to talk about is the insufficient information. There's many unanswered questions about what the reality of what a combined school will be, what it will really look like. One of the things I mentioned earlier was the change in the costing numbers. So we've got a bit of a moving target there. We've asked as a PSSC, we've been asking some questions about office location, if it would be necessary to relocate, if we could use the existing offices. It's not going to take much to eat up $18,000 in savings is what I had. I think the updated most recent number is $53,000. You move a few walls, you might have money left over to put a door in. It's not going to take long to burn through $53,000 in savings. One of our questions that we've been trying to get sorted out, and I noticed that many of the parents on the boards had that question too, was about the FTE positions, the full-time equivalent positions. We get looking at that, it's complicated, we've got top-ups, it's really difficult to assess the impact of what the physical numbers of staff in the school are going to be if it combines. I know, just going from two principals to one, I know we have two principals, I know they're teaching principals, but there are two bodies that act as principals in this school, one on each side, every day. And I know that when things come up, if there's a fight in the hallway, or if there's a student who's injured, or the principals aren't saying, ooh, I'm on my teaching portion of my full-time equivalency right now, so we'll deal with this later. No, when things come up, they're dealing with them. There's a full-time principal in the school, in each of the schools, all day long, every day. And everything that we've looked at, it makes it appear as though we're going to have one less body able to help deal with issues as they arise, deal with students, deal with problems, deal with all the administrative paperwork and scheduling and so forth that has to happen. So those were the four main areas that we were concerned with. Anybody who knows me knows I'm all about change. I actually came into this process very much expecting that it probably would make sense to combine the schools. I'm a chartered accountant, numbers are my life, and I thought that I would, when this came up, that we were being looked at for a sustainability study, I thought that this was going to be about, to a great extent, about the numbers. When I got looking at the information, when we got digging into the information, when we heard Mr. McTimmony's presentation, we saw that we're very average where we're following our cost per student, our cost per square foot, for maintenance, that type of thing. We're right in the middle of the pack. This isn't really about huge dollar savings that can be achieved. So I guess the message that the PSSC from the high school wanted to get across is that if it's not about the dollars, you really need to think about those things that you can't tie a dollar sign to that impact our students and impact our staff and the well-being and the learning. And those were the things that when we got digging into it, we really didn't think it made sense to make a change. As I said, I'm very supportive of change. If this came across my desk at work and there was a good argument for it, I would be all about making it happen. But what I've seen here would not get across my desk. I don't think there's a strong enough argument to combine these two schools based on the information that we have.
Any questions from the DEC members? Thank you for the presentation. Very good. All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And I'm only going by the agenda, so I don't have everyone's full name. So Stanley Village Council, Mayor Foreman.
First, I'd like to explain that I'm not Mark Foreman. He's a lot older than I am. He's also a lot more tan because he's in the Dominican. And I'm in the snow belt. Mark, I bring greetings from Mark. He wasn't able to be here tonight. He's on a planned vacation. Barb and I arm wrestled a little bit, but Deputy Mayor Barb McDonald has a cold just a little worse than mine. So I guess I won out, except for Heather, and she said, I'm not doing it anyway. So yes, you got me. So Mr. Superintendent, DEC members, parents, and teachers, I'm here tonight as a member of Village Council, a proud parent and grandparent. I presently have three grandchildren in the elementary school and one about to start in the fall. I agree that most decisions like the one we are discussing must follow a process. However, all stakeholders in the process must be informed of the process, must be given a clear objective and reasoning behind the process. I believe the Village of Stanley is indeed a stakeholder and we have concerns. It concerns Village Council that we were not informed of the process, the reason for the process, etc. In fact, we found out only after we were made aware of a letter sent to parents on October 29, 2014. Village Council sent a letter to the superintendent on December 2, 2014, expressing concerns. This letter was promptly replied to, explaining that council should go to the website and attend the next meeting on December the 4th. Village Council attends the meeting and asks questions on the structure. Attendees were assured that all questions will be answered along with supporting documentation on the website. January 15, 2015, unsatisfied with the information provided, Village Council addresses a letter directly to the DEC requesting a meeting with a representation to discuss their concerns and urging the DEC to postpone the next public meeting. This letter goes unanswered. Information provided on the website came with no explanation on appendices and was hard to follow. Yes, yes, you have a cost saving, you estimate at $18,000 to $40,000 after $49,000 after the third year. Yes, you outlined a process, but village council feel there was a failure to communicate the clear objective. There was simply very little information that would encourage the community to support the indicated changes, also leaving the people of the village and surrounding area questioning the logic of why we are even subject to the process. Stanley Village Council is concerned about the effect on the community if the two schools were to be consolidated for the following reasons. Loss of employment in the community. Two, negative impact on the learning environment, mixing of younger and older children. We've heard from that in the last two presentations. And I have personal feelings on this. In today's world, I clearly do not believe it is in the best interest of our children to immerse the elementary kids with older, more mature students. I come here quite regularly to pick up my grandchildren, and honestly, I feel they are in a safe environment. Although all students are under one roof, the elementary children are cared for in their own environment. They have excellent teachers, adequate extracurricular activities, art, music, and organized sports, organized by teachers and, in a lot of cases, parents. Personally, I came up through the system you are proposing. Yes, here at SHS, only on a smaller scale with less distractions. And I feel the present system with today's distractions is far superior to the system I was brought up through. I got to play hockey when they were on their break when I was young. And that isn't the way it is today. They play their sports in their own environment, in their own age group and so on, along with their education, their drama, and whatever. And I certainly appreciate that and the way that the administration handled here. Three, limit future growth to the school and community. As a village council, we are optimistic for the area's future. This is a time when we may attract new life into our school. However, we are concerned that cuts in any programs may negatively affect the decision of parents as they decide where they wish to live and have their children educated. Village Council is also concerned that the provincial government is contradicting itself by proposing this consolidation. Quotes from Premier Gallant's State of the Province Address, January the 28th, 2015. First quote. I want New Brunswick to be the best place to raise a family. I want us to be able to have the communities, the programs, the opportunities, so that people say, that's where I want to have my family, that's where I want to raise them, my family, to stay and to retire. Second quote, education is so important and we're not where we need to be. So we're going to make some changes. We're going to shake things up and get it done the right way. Or it's coming from a good place, but I understand the systems, the teachers, the parents, the administrators, even the students themselves want stability. And I think we have to provide them. That wasn't his quote, that was the last one. Sisson Project, that's one of the, this time it couldn't be any worse to make a change here. Because we're optimistic, I guess. And this project will generate considerable benefits to local, regional, and provincial economies through the generation of employment, incomes, taxes, and GDP. These benefits result directly from the project, while their indirect and induced benefits will accrue through economic spin-off related to the project. An estimate of the economic benefits generated by the project was made using the economic model that predicts project expenditures throughout the regional, provincial, and national economies. Based on this model, it is estimated that direct employment for construction, 2 years, and operation, 27 years, will reach 9,826 person years over its lifetime. over 90% of which will be created in New Brunswick, including direct, indirect, and induced employment. The project will support an estimated 32,619 person years of employment, with 16,406 person years of unemployment directly within New Brunswick. Direct economic benefits are the employment and expenditure related to activities at the project site. Example, the employment of workers during construction and employees during operation, and capital and operating expenditures associated with the project. Indirect economic benefits are the employment and expenditures that result from contracts awarded to suppliers, companies who do not work at the project site. This represents the total economic benefit of business-to-business purchases. Induced economic benefits are generated by the consumer, expenditures of employees of all of the firms that benefit from the direct and indirect economic benefits of the project. Recommendation to the DEC from the Village Council. Village Council strongly encourages the District Education Council to vote in favor of either of the following recommendations to the minister. Maintain the status quo at Stanley High School Elementary and High School Complex. Invest dollars into the infrastructure programming at Stanley Elementary and High School Complex. Say no to the consolidation of our schools. I know I'm repeating myself, but I can't for the life of me see why we are being subject to such a process to save as little when we have the province trying to create revenue and savings in the extent of $600 million. As the Premier said, this area needs stability in its schools. Thank you.
Is there any questions? Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. Good presentation. All right. Providing there's been no change.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Peter Fullerton, not to be confused with the president of the New Brunswick Teachers Federation. In fact, he spells Fullerton wrong. So I am, as with others, I'm a graduate of Stanley High School. I've coached, been involved in coaching at the school for about 25 years or so, and actually a father-to-be. So. Maybe a little bit of street cred now with my presentation. So, a very basic presentation, pros, cons, some points to consider, and then a quick summary at the end. So, when I talk about the pros, I guess anytime you're looking at a decision, if you're going to do something, it's pretty basic, I guess, that you would look at the pros and the cons and call those different things. But that's really what it comes down to, is what would be the advantages, what would be the disadvantages. And really, as has been expressed by others. What we're talking about here with this proposal is very minor operational cost savings from some staff reductions. Don't get me wrong, as with Nola, I'm all about efficiency. My organization's had to make tough decisions to gain efficiencies, and when it makes sense, that's certainly something that we should do, and I understand that. I was on the district website getting some information, and it actually surprised me that we have a district education office in Fredericton and one just down the road in Ormucto. That may make perfect sense. I don't know that, but that surprised me. But really, apart from the operational cost savings, there really have been no other benefits that have been advanced or outlined or described, so I really don't see where there have been any other advantages or pros to this proposal. When I look at the cons, and this will be perhaps a bit repetitive from the previous presentations, but clearly what we're talking about is a loss of resources. Anytime you have a loss of resources, there will be an impact with that loss of resources. In a smaller school, rural tend to be rural schools. The formula for FTEs is already stacked against small schools. Just the way the formula works. So additional loss of resources is going to have an impact. The capital cost to renovate or relocate the office. Now, I understand from the website that possibly that wouldn't be the case, that we would actually use the existing high school office, which would mean that you wouldn't have the additional cost. But that takes you to the next point, which has already been raised by others and was raised at the last meeting, of the negative impact and actual impacts and almost as importantly, the perceptions of blending 5 to 18-year-old students. So I won't be late with that. That was already well defined by others. And another point that's already been raised is K to 12, 5-year-olds to 18-year-olds. That's I'm not an expert in the education field, but that would seem to be an overly broad range for teaching or administration. I know just as a coach, a few years makes a big difference. So from K to 12, that's a broad range for teachers. We already have people that are teaching 6 to 12, for example. That's a broad range. I think that was well addressed by Noel already. The same thing for administration. Teachers are already challenged to plan and teach a variety of subjects and levels. That's a reality in a small school. You don't teach math 11-2 all day with one lesson plan and one marking scheme. You're teaching multiple, I don't know what the exact number would be, but you're teaching multiple subjects. So you're planning every term, every year, you're planning, and it can change from year to year, you're planning for a variety of subjects, marking a variety of subjects. So it's already a challenge. So anytime you have an impact on resources, you're going to notice that. As a small school, I don't know if everybody here is from a small school or a larger school, but you may be surprised to know, but maybe you wouldn't, that we run essentially a full sports program here. Some of the teams are coached by teachers, some by parents, but we have a full sports program. Whether you're a small school or a large school, you've got a yearbook, you've got a graduation plan, you've got a SEGRAD, you've got various clubs that are offered here. So you've got all these things, whether the school has 200 students or 800 students. So it's already a challenge as it is for teachers' administration in a smaller school. So a few points to consider. I think this has been raised before as well. Why would you punish Stanley for making a physical connection between two previously independent buildings? How is Stanley different from other schools that are co-located in one building? I know on the website there was I printed off the sheet and it listed a number of schools that are co-located, and essentially I think, I could be correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Heartland was the only one that really functioned as one school. Now it's a brand new school that was built and designed that way from the start, but from what I could gather from the sheet with the various examples, they essentially all operated independently. In terms of the two schools being in one building, but they were independent. But how would that be different from schools that are in close proximity? Harvey, Knapwood, Mitchell, there are various areas where there are two schools, but they're close. So what's the difference? You know, if you take CMBA area, for example, they have three schools. They've got two elementaries, they've got a high school, they have, I assume they have three principals, I assume they have three, you know, three administrative assistants. So, you know, I don't know that we're really that far off the mark. Of course, we already realize efficiencies in transportation and shared facilities, so there are, you know, there's already efficiencies that have been gained by being co-located, cafeteria, gymnasium, library. It's been noted that you know, we may potentially, and I guess depending on others, how you look at it, you know, hopefully some economic development in the area, which could be relatively significant. And if that was to take place, then there would quite likely be a growth in student numbers. So if this is about, you know, ratios and about efficiencies based on our numbers, then, you know, perhaps it's not the right time to be taking this kind of step when, in, you know, in theory, a few years from now, then things could change quite drastically. So this perhaps isn't the right time. Another point to consider, you know, there are choices. You know, whether you're on the Teamwith end with National Valley or you're on the Railroad end, there's Railroad Elementary. There's certainly an area of a bit of overlap, and you can make that choice. We heard at the last meeting and we've heard tonight that there are concerns that parents have with young children in terms of being exposed and intermingled with the older children, and especially if you've got a choice. In fact, in some areas you've got dual busing. You may, you know, you may decide that you know what, I'm not sure I like the non-main option, and you could lose a few more students. And when we looked at that that ratio, I believe Mr. McTimney noted that 60% I think was the bar, and I think we were maybe just under that. So, you know, a few students, that's not going to do anything for sustainability if even a small number of students or parents decided that they would rather their child go to the full elementary as opposed to an amalgamated K-12. And, you know, going off the board, it's outside the scope of this exercise, but if we're talking about sustainability and when I go back to that ratio, the capacity ratio, you know, what are some other ways that we could minimize the cost per student or improve the capacity ratio and maximize the use of the facility? The overcrowding at Devon and Leo Hayes. Examine why so many students are transferring out of zone. There are students that transfer in, but not nowhere near the number that transfer out. And perhaps you could examine what those issues are and see if those could be addressed if possible. Or look at the boundary. And just to be clear, so I don't get hit on Facebook, I'm not suggesting anybody be forced to go anywhere. But look at the boundary, particularly in the Teignmouth area, on the Stanley side of Teignmouth, which obviously is a very rural area. And, you know, while they may be it may be close between the distance between the elementary school and the Stanley school, certainly it's not even close when you get to middle school and high school. You know, look at would it make sense to look at that boundary? And in fact, there's as I mentioned, there's a busing area for students right around that boundary, just as an option. You know, and I don't know, if somebody goes to National Valley, they live on the English Settlement Road, maybe closer to the Teignmouth end, or they live in Highland Heights and they go to Nashwauk Valley, is it even presented to them as an option to come to Stanley High School? Does anybody present the benefits of a small school? We've heard people talk about the benefits of a small school. Does anybody even talk to those parents and tell them the benefits of a small school? Are they even given an option, or is it just automatic that since they've gone to National Valley, they're going to go on to Devon and then they're going to go on to Leo Hayes? So I raise that as another question. So essentially, just to summarize, the costs and the potential risks of this proposal or this option of amalgamating, in my view, clearly does not outweigh the very minimal benefits. or the cost and potential risk, I'm sorry, may do outweigh the very cost savings. And that in terms of sustainability, perhaps there are other means of, or options in terms of improving sustainability that would not have the same risks and costs. Thank you.
Thank you. Good presentation. Any questions? John.
Good presentation. Thank you. You spoke about the co-locating and you referred to Heartland. That is in my sub-district. Could you just kind of clarify a little bit more the point you're trying to make there, because I really wasn't clear on what you're trying to get across.
Well, I know Heartland's been raised at the last meeting by Mr. McTimney as the example, as I understand it, as an outsider to the system, but I understand that that is one facility with, I believe, one, it is one school that is K-12, whereas the list of schools that was on the website as examples from various parts, not just in ASD West, listed a lot of it, listed several schools, whether they're middle and high school, that were in one, some Anglophone, some Francophone, that were in one, that were in one building, but they did operate independently, which is what we have here today. So that was really my only point.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
I was quite heavily involved with the Home and School Association then, before the PSSCs. And then when the PSSC started, I became a member, and I was actually the chair of the high school PSSC for a number of years. So I guess my biggest complaint when my kids were in this school, one of the drawbacks that I found was that when they were in the high school and getting ready to graduate, I found that there was very little guidance. And of course, they're making their biggest decisions of their lives, and I was quite disappointed with the guidance. And I just found out the other day that we have one guidance counselor for this entire school. And so now I know why they didn't get much in the way of guidance. They're just, you know, how can one guidance counselor handle kindergarten kids to grade 5 and then work with the grade 12 kids as well? I don't see how that can happen. My kids were lucky because I told them what they were going to do and they listened. So it didn't seem to be a whole lot of a problem in our family, but I can see where that would be a problem for some people. It was obvious to me too that the principal's job was very stressful and demanding. And when I say that, I'm talking about the elementary principal and the high school principal. And now we're talking about having one principal for the entire school. How can that one principal put themselves so thinly to look after elementary kids and high school kids? I don't know how that happens, because right now I see two principals that are quite stressed. So we're going to be going through principals like they're nobody's business, the way I see it. Who's going to lose out when you're talking about one principal? When I retired last year, after 36 years as a chemist at the Research and Productivity Council, I decided I was going to volunteer at the school. And my thought was that I was going to help teach kids to read, because it's always been my thought that kids in elementary, if you do not learn those basics, you cannot proceed as well. So I really wanted to come and help kids in grade 2 learn how to read. And I learned about the ELF program, and I forget what that's called now, Elementary Literacy Friends. So I wanted to be an ELF. And so they said, come and do the one-day training course. And I said, okay. So I went to the training course, and I was completely overwhelmed by the amount of training I had to go through to teach a grade 2 kid how to read. I have a bachelor's degree in science, and I worked in science for 36 years. I could teach grade 12 chemistry, no problem. But I really did not know how to teach a grade 2 kid how to read. It was amazing what you need to know to teach a grade 2 kid to read. So I hope there's no thoughts of having, you know, a grade 12 chemistry teacher go to the elementary school, because it's not going to work, okay? Being in the school again is showing me how hard those teachers work. And, oh, in the office, the elementary office, the phone rings constantly. Who's going to answer the phone when there's nobody there? Who's going to make the phone calls when the child is sick? Do you really think that's going to happen from the high school office? I was told that the DEC, the DEC, is trying to find efficiencies, okay? They're going to save money. We're combining the two schools, we're going to save $53,621 in year three. I worked that out, and that works out to $1.17 per student per day. That's a cup of coffee a day. I really do think that our students are worth more than a cup of coffee a day. When my son was in elementary, I think I mentioned this when you guys were, the deck was out here last, I was the one that talked to you about my son. He couldn't come in the front door to get to the elementary school. He would walk with his back to the students, because the high school students congregate in the entrance in the front. So he would walk with his back to them to get to the elementary school. He was really shy, but he excelled in the elementary school and really did very well there. In fact, one of his friends was being bullied one day on the playground, and him and the friend actually went to the principal's office and told the principal that there was a bullying issue going on in the elementary playground. And of course, the principal got right on it and squashed that problem right away. Can you see my son walking up to the high school office when he's in grade 3 and peeking up over that window to try and see if there's anybody there to talk to him? There's no way he could make it up there. No way. The superintendent's quote on the website is this: an initial look at this shows that the office location in the high school would be suitable. Most kids in kindergarten and grade 1 would not be able to look into that window to see the administrator, to see if they could see the principal. They couldn't even find the high school office. There's no way that they could do it. Why would we put through our elementary kids through that kind of stress to try to find that office to report anything? So what you're going to find is the bullying issues, the other issues that are taking place in the elementary are going to skyrocket because of what you are planning here for this school. My son went on to middle school, and he had some quality one-on-one time with the principal in the high school when he was in high school. I don't know if the old principal is here tonight, but he can tell you that he had some quality time with the principal in the high school. But he graduated from this school with honors. And then he went on to UNB, and he graduated from UNB in electrical engineering with honors. And that tells me that this school is doing some wonderful things for our kids. And I really don't see any point in making any changes to the way this school is operating because of that. I support the two school systems in Stanley, and I implore you to support it as well as the District Education Council. I just want to read this direct quote from the district education website. One of the main roles of the DEC member is to ensure the wishes of the community are reflected in the management and operation of the community school. The DEC members must be willing to ask the community what it needs and wants from its schools. I think it is obvious from this meeting that the community wants the status quo, two separate schools with two principals. Now, we also had collected names around the community. And I have all the signatures here, and I think I'm missing one page of this. And what it says is, we, the undersigned, believe the consolidation of the Stanley Elementary and Stanley High School would result in the loss of services and provide no advantage for students. We do not support the consolidation of the Stanley Elementary and the Stanley High School. And I added it up quickly, and like, I didn't have a calculator, so I could be a bit wrong on the number here, but I got 196 signatures. And down the road from where I live, there used to be a sign that said, "Welcome to the Village of Stanley, population 440. Now, when I moved here, I thought it should have stayed at 441, but they didn't change it. I still have a beef with us, which of the mayor isn't here tonight. But 196 out of 440 people in this community. That sounds to me like it's right around 50% of the people, and that's every man, woman, and child in this community. So I don't have children's signatures on these. That sounds to me like the majority of the people in this community would like this to remain the same. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any questions from the council?
This is not my t-shirt. This is my daughter's t-shirt. She was a basketball player here.
Are you presenting those names to us, or are you going to make copies? Or?
Are we leaving them on the deck? Sure. Okay, you can have them. Yes. Okay.
Yep. Great. Thank
this
you.
Is the next presenter.
Okay.
It's a video. It's a video.
Thank you. Lawrence West.
Yeah.
Oh, he's presenting via...
via video.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good evening, and I thank ASPW West and the DEC for giving me this opportunity to speak to the issue of Stanley School's consolidation proposal under Policy 409. I apologize for not being able to speak to you in person today for personal reasons. Regarding this proposal, I have some perplexing and troubling questions without which have not been adequately answered thus far, and that is, why Stanley Schools? Why now? To provide some background for my later remarks, I wanted to review some relevant and important historical dates. In 1949, Stanley Regional High School opened. 1965, Stanley Elementary School opened. In 1980, Savor School's parents group formed to protest threatened closure of Stanley High School. 1983, the Provincial Office of Government Reform was instituted, and education was placed under the microscope for possible cost savings. In 1985, District 9 proposed some changes that put Boys Town, Polk Town, Stanley in turmoil over proposed school budget cuts. I'll talk about this more in detail below. 1986 to 1992, Stanley Parents Group achieved temporary stability in Stanley schools with expansion and renovation of the school complex, and I'll speak to more on that as we go along. Post-92 expansion and renovation, 1992, 42 school boards were amalgamated into 18 new school boards. District 9 was abolished, and Boystown, Doaktown, and Stanley were incorporated into District 18, centered in Fredericton. With that change, rural school budgets came under threat from urban interests on regional school boards who perceive inequality in budget allocations. 1994, District 18 was in turmoil, and Fredericton parents were in a virtual state of anarchy over proposed cancellation of early Wednesday afternoon dismissal and loss of band opportunities. Stanley parents, meanwhile, were fighting to save minimal college prep courses and minimal French language opportunities. In 1996, after all the turmoil, elected school boards were abolished. Fast forward to 2012, 18 school districts were consolidated into 4 Anglophone, 3 Francophone school districts. In 2014, we saw renewed efforts to look at schools as a source of cost savings. Stanley School was singled out for their, quote, unique circumstance in their administrative structure. And 2015, question in my mind, will Stanley parents fight back, and will it mean anything? So 1985 in greater detail, and I think this is a sad history of provincial fiscal restraint as an excuse for furthering personal and political agendas over the back of education. In 1985, we saw upheaval as District 9 was in turmoil over combined classes, cuts in teacher positions, program delivery challenges, all result of Office of Government Reform initiatives. Stanley High School continued to be threatened with closure with possible consolidation of Boystown, Doaktown, Stanley into a new high school along Route 8 near Astle. A new Stanley parents group formed to fight back to stem the cuts and to fight the threats of closure. In that turmoil, Stanley parents discovered that for 10 years, renovations of Stanley School had been the number one priority of District 9 capital projects, with no follow-up. As a result, the squeaking wheel parents group got government's attention for renovation and expansion that had been repeatedly proposed. So by April 1986, the political heat was raised and Stanley Schools and expansion and renovation were included in provincial budget estimates. And by November 1986, the first meeting of the Stanley Schools Expansion Committee was held. And that led to March 1987, with District 9 tabling the final education specifications for expansion and renovation of Stanley Elementary School and Stanley Regional High School. Those final education specifications have recently been recovered from the provincial archive, and that document is available from me if anybody's interested in seeing it. I would note that on that committee that put together those educational specifications, we had 6 qualified educators, 5 parents of Stanley students, we had a District 9 superintendent, we had a Department of Education rep, we had a Stanley student rep. And the recommendations in that document were supported by a school board of elected officials accountable to the public. So within those specifications, there was a background for expansion and renovations on page 2, and I quote from that document. The District 9 School Board intends to maintain Stanley Elementary School and Stanley High School as separate schools, although the expansion and renovations may lead to adjoining of the physical plants. The board envisages a design that will maintain the integrity of each education community while permitting use of shared facilities. Within the detailed educational specifications, the elementary school and senior high school share a secretary. The administration area could be shared. If it is to be shared, then principal's offices would have to be located within an administration area. Existing offices could be converted back to classroom space. In August 1987, the architectural firm Disher & Steen partnership was appointed to do the architectural work for the Stanley School's expansion project. And by November 1992, the expanded and renovated Stanley Schools officially opened. In a recent contact with Mr. Doug Steen, the architect involved, who is currently of Steen Knorr Architecture, Mr. Steen advised, "All I really remember is that as we did the design, there was certainly a desire on the part of the school and the principals to have separate administrative areas, and that's what we did." So now I have to ask, if the DAC is determined to follow through with this proposal, are we in Stanley going to get a proper architectural study to achieve the end result? Are we going to be subjected to some ad hoc shuffling of offices and personnel configured by unqualified non-professionals, changes that will compromise what we have here in terms of a functional educational building and community facility? What will it cost taxpayers to do this properly? What will be the net balance of the financial cost versus benefit? And what will be the net cost benefit in educational terms? The only answer I've seen is that Stanley represents a unique circumstance that requires change. A unique situation, I would say hardly. If we look at Fredericton, at École Saint Anne, we have a kindergarten to grade 5, École des Patisseurs, with Principal Marcel LeBlanc, and we have Saint Anne's School 6 to 12 with Principal Vincent Thibault. In ASD North, and these aren't the only ones, we have the Dalhousie Middle School and a high school with separate principals. In North South S, we have a K-6 and a 7-12 with separate principals. There is more, and I ask why Stanley. Anglophone West has put together more of these situations in ASD East, North, South, and Francophone District North and Northeast. So I ask you, why is there no study report with comments from the principals in these schools about the benefits and drawbacks of consolidation? We've seen comments from principals at K-12 schools within the district ASD West with comments that are ambiguous at best. So I ask, why hasn't there been a comparable study on all these principals from all these schools? So in economics, and we've seen this before, Stanley as a whole utilizes 50%, 52% of its functional capacity compared to a district average of K-12 schools of 54%. Nearly 40% of the high schools and K-12 schools within ASDW operate at a lower rate. Are we going to have similar expensive studies on all schools in ASD West with lower than average utilization of their functional capacity? And I just throw up three examples there of Stanley versus Central MD Academy and Carleton North, where bigger savings than what are being proposed here could be achieved by looking at why those operating costs are that much more than Stanley. I also have to ask why this is happening now, because in 2015, successive governments have touted the future of the system mine as a major economic engine for Central New Brunswick. Northcliffe Resources has proposed $579 million in investment, 500 construction jobs for 2 years, and 300 long-term jobs for 27 years. Stanley is supposed to benefit from these projects. Successive governments have promised hundreds of jobs along the Energy East Pipeline, approximately 20 kilometers of which lie within the Stanley School catchment area. Past governments and Swin Resources have touted hundreds of jobs to come with shale gas development. The Stanley School catchment area has many hectares within the Swin license. Natural Resources Canada has put together a list of social risks and social opportunities that come from developments in the mining industry, seemingly with the oil and gas. I've highlighted the ones that I think are particularly relevant to students within the Stanley area, and I'm particularly concerned about the ones on the left, the risks of the increases in sexually transmitted diseases, drug and alcohol abuse, increase in prostitution, increase in crime and violence, increase in family violence, and breakdown of family values. All these risks are going to be reflected within the schools, why we are contemplating weakening the administrative structure we have now with this in the offing is beyond me. So I have to ask, if these developments proceed as promised, Stanley Schools will again be growing and the educational challenges multiplying. Why are government departments seemingly working at cross purposes at this point, wasting taxpayers' dollars with this current proposal? Why now? So, given this proposal, there are some other perplexing questions without adequate answers. How much are these meetings that we're attending tonight and have been attending, how much are these costing the taxpayers? How much will reports from relevant government departments cost taxpayers if this is done right? How much will appropriate architectural and educational studies cost taxpayers if this is done right? How much will appropriate renovation cost taxpayers if this is done right? Why are there no dollar answers to these costing questions? And lastly, why now and why Stanley? And indeed, the big elephant in the room is why. What was the impetus for this happening? The unique situation, the unique circumstance argument just does not seem to hold water. So why? Where did this come from? Why are we going through this process? This agonizing process requiring so much time and effort and energy of people within the community for a situation that promises little, if any, economic return and is fiddling with a system that has worked, is working, is compromised by budget constraints, the result of budget constraints over many years. We have a system that works. Students coming out of here have achieved well. Let's keep it that way. Let's not tamper with a good system. Thank you very much. I apologize again for not being able to address you in person. I hope we can get to the end of this without further conflict, without further turmoil within this community, and let's get on with having our schools operate as well as they have in the past.
Child, she's not yet in the school system, so I am interested in how this school evolves and the community evolves. So I hope to speak to that, but also I've been involved in the 409 process as a member of the PSSC for the high school in the sustainability study. first off, I'd like to speak a little bit about what this community has so far and what's encouraged my family to move here, why we decided to stay here. Stanley has just been the recipient, I'm sure everyone knows, of billions of dollars to our healthcare facilities. We've got a great spot for people to move to with aging parents. We've got levels of healthcare that will provide long-term care for our aging parents. We've also just got a new Route 8 highway that's that has relieved some pressure on our two main arteries into the city, making Stanley a great spot, a greater spot to commute if you have to go into the urban area to work. We've got great recreational facilities here. We've got a rink. We've got a huge agricultural society back there with all kinds of room to use for weddings, events such as that. We've got a village playground. But we've got some pretty strong athletics and pretty strong groups here. We have a history of that. This is a great spot for alternative to that urban lifestyle. I enjoy it. I'm pretending I'm farming right now. I get to enjoy all types of projects that way. The last thing about this community is that we are on the, Larry spoke to it a lot better than I can, but we're on the cusp of what could be some major economic developments here, and considering the financial changes that is going to, how it's going to affect the school, perhaps a change such as consolidating the school could wait for a while. But what I have noticed by volunteering in the community, I'm a member of the Agricultural Society and also of the PSSC, is how committed the community members are to this area. Anyone you talk to, we're trying to find a treasurer for the Agricultural Society right now. Everybody we've talked to, well, I'm the treasurer for this, or I'm the president for this. We have a very active community here, and I think it's something that speaks to how committed our children have, the advantages our children have had from K to 12. We've had a strong school that's been able to grasp our students and give them the confidence they want to, and in return they've stayed in our community and contributed back to us. We've got strong community support. Having a strong school encourages employees to see this Stanley as a place to come to as teachers. A lot of the volunteers that we have in our school system making use of our extracurricular facilities are the teachers that are able to commit that time to it. I think if we see a consolidation of the school, more pressure on those FTEs, that we're going to see less commitment by those teachers towards students in providing those basketballs, the soccer, the volleyball, all these great sports that Stanley has done so well at. And I think this would further make Stanley as a stepping stone school to come from. I think the reason why our students have done so well and why so many students have grown up and come back to Stanley is because they've had that, the support through their schools. If we don't have committed teachers that are going to stay here, that this becomes another stepping stone until that better job comes in Fredericton or Oromocto or another urban area, that they have a stepping stone attitude, and that trickles down to our students as well. They'll have that stepping stone attitude and we'll lose the students out of our community. I know that the superintendent's presentation skipped over the idea that this is going to have an effect on schools around us. I know for myself, I'm traveling to town every day. It's not a great commute. I don't really hope to have my daughter having to do that. But if there's an elementary school that she can attend, with the advantages of the facilities that she could have, I think I'd be more likely to have her go to an elementary school. Here, I've been to the PSSE meetings myself. When we sit and talk, as Nola said, about what the issues are we're going to have to deal with, if it was a K-12 PSSC group and our agenda had drugs, cars parked in the parking lot, whether we should not let students leave the school grounds during lunch, those are the things that I would hope the PSSC would address, and not the problem with the swing or the playground that needs a little more addressing to it. I don't know where that time would be found to address those problems. I know what happens. I know there are K-12 schools out there that do handle this okay, but why would we put pressure onto our school that way unnecessarily for the financial gains that we've seen? This is it broken down, the numbers. This is it as an ASD West budget, and then this is it as a Stanley budget. For what we're going to lose, for our students? Is it really worth that 0.3% in our whole ASD West budget and in our Stanley budget at 2.3%? It doesn't seem logical to me that we would give up what we already have here and this great school for that much money. So the second part I'd like to talk to is the confusion that I run into in trying to think about this 409 policy in the context of Stanley High School and elementary schools. The two schools, like Larry said, under one roof, it's not that unique. This really doesn't, it's hard to justify in my mind looking back through that report and how this got presented to you as this is a reason why to study this school is it's unique. There's a great guideline in the 409 about what things should be considered there. It's difficult for me to see any of those guidelines, any of those suggestions that apply to Stanley uniquely, especially at $50,000 in year three. So was it necessary for Stanley to be named under a 409 study? Digging deeper, here are some of the specifics that are required criteria. There's nothing there that strikes me as something that Stanley is being looked at. We're midway down the line, we've heard it lots of times, and what triggers are there that pull Stanley out? Are we following the procedural fairness in pulling Stanley into a 409? That's what kept going through my mind. And then looking at the goals and principles of 409, there's a specific statement in there about rural areas and recognizing that rural areas that the schools are integral to what our rural areas have, the preservation of our culture, our local community. And that's what struck me when I thought of our small groups, our 4-H groups, all these groups and the commitment that our community has to it. I think that this great school we have is what brings out this volunteer and this connectedness to our community. But we know the province is in financial trouble. I'm sure everybody on this table knows that pressure is being put on all school systems to find efficiencies. Is the ASDW West stretched too thin right now? When this policy 409 was first developed, it was under District 18. How many members of the DEC would there have been to look at a District 18 409? Now you're being asked over the course of three meetings to come up with the right solution for Stanley School. There's 70 other schools you're supposed to think about, 24,000 students to think about. Is it really logical, is it procedurally fair to ask you DEC members to think of Stanley in the terms that need to be done and the effect that you would have on this community? Perhaps there's some change that could be done to the 409 policy. Something maybe good could come out of this study of Stanley, which would show that there should be a different process to follow in looking at efficiency studies that don't follow the traditional outline of that 409 study. So I have some recommendations that just came from my mind as a community member, as a participant in that 409 study from the PSSC and trying to think about this and hearing from other community members. We had a few town hall meetings. A lot of ideas were being proposed, but the main thrust of everybody's argument was, and we've heard it here again, why is this happening to us? I think that there could be a more involved process. 409 stipulates that. 409 that was built for a small district gives lots of recommendations about how that sustainability and the consulting process should be taken. Is it fair to ask a district education council to go through this process stretched as thinly as they are? There are lots of people that have not been consulted, in my mind, as thoroughly as they should have. Principals, I know Mr. McTimney did address them, but the school staff, and it's in the website, and an explanation why school staff maybe shouldn't be addressed. We're going through a director search right now at the university that I'm involved in, the libraries. We're all involved in it. Some of it's anonymous. There are lots of ways in which the most integral part of this school could communicate with this 409 policy or a policy that better suits a sustainability study of a not-traditional 409 triggered school. The other thing I'd like to comment in that 409 study, there's a specific requirement in there for communication with the PSSC. I'm part of the PSSC, and at no point were we ever addressed singularly. This is our chance to get to speak to you right now, and we didn't get an opportunity. We are able to talk to our DEC representative at meetings, but that's a very small, there's a lot of other things that we try to talk about at our meetings. I don't feel that the PSSC groups were pulled into this process as well as they should have been. I remake that point, 11 to 13 members making a decision that has this much effect on our community is a very tall task to ask, and I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. But truthfully, I think Stanley's an easy one. Say no, and we'll take this process. There are lots of places in government that are looking for efficiencies. Let's go back to the district and ask them for a better process for us to look at schools that aren't traditionally triggered and look for efficiencies in our education system. Thank you very much.
Questions from the council for Josh? Very good. Thank you. All right, next.
Take this opportunity to thank everyone who made the presentation tonight. I think a lot of very valid points were discussed. I want to thank the community for coming out, and I want to thank the DEC members for traveling, in some cases, great distances to be here tonight. I'm aware that the mind can only absorb what the bottom can withstand. So I'll try and make my comments brief. Just as an aside, before we get started, right around the turn of the century, early 1900s, when the region came together to form a school, there was a regional school, there was a delegation from Pennyac. And I'm pleased that all these years later, there's a representative from Pennyac here tonight as well. But there are a few points that I'd like to touch on. My name is Kurt McDonald. I'm the local member of the Legislative Assembly. I'm a proud graduate of Stanley High, and for my entire life, I've lived within sight of this school. When we think about this process, I have some concerns with how everything rolled out. No fault to any of you, but just the process in general. The last meeting was held on the day after our Christmas tree lighting here in Stanley. So it's kind of a kickoff to our Christmas season, and people are busy thinking about all kinds of other things like Christmas cantatas and Christmas concerts and Christmas cooking and presents and whatnot. We've also had a very stormy January. So this meeting that we're having tonight has actually been canceled not once, but twice. The village, to its credit, organized three meetings. At least one of those had to be canceled because of a storm, and it was snowing relatively hard for the other two. Just to help the DEC members understand this area a little bit better, depending on when the storm hits, if you happen to live in the northernmost reaches of the Stanley catchment area, the catchment area for the Stanley School, it will be a machine that is hired to plow a resource road that cleans the road in front of your home ahead of the government plow. So when I'm speaking the Maple Grove area, the Green Hill area, pretty much any place beyond the turnoff to Centerville. So there's a significant number of people that would find it very challenging to even attend these meetings. And that makes it difficult in some cases to get a true sense of just how important it is to the community. Also, Stanley, if you don't know, is very much a hockey town, very much a basketball town, very much involved in sports, and all of those activities are taking place in this same December, January, February time frame. So it's a challenging time for parents to have an opportunity to sit down and actually look at the significance of what is being proposed by the deck with this proposed amalgamation. Now, I just want to touch on a couple of things, both at the micro and the macro level, because I think they speak to some of the staffing concerns that we've heard addressed very well in some of the other presentations here tonight. At very much a local level, I had an opportunity to visit our local nursing home a few days ago, and I was very, very proud to call myself an SHS grad when I saw what was taking place there. There was a program put on by the school, by the Stanley School, whereby the students went to the villa, and they met with individual residents of the villa. They found out what kind of music they liked and whatnot, and they put that on an iPod, and now residents of the villa have their own iPod with music that's important to them at various points through their life. And I bring that up as an example, because I think it's a great project that could be rolled out all over New Brunswick. But if we don't have the staffing that's required at the school, the very first things to go are some of these thinking outside the box projects. And I would hate to see that happen in Stanley, and I believe the others in the audience would as well. Speaking at a macro level, a big picture level, we can be very proud of Stanley High graduates. We have all kinds of students, former SHS students who have gone on to be involved in the education field, in the healthcare field, far too numerous to mention here tonight. In beautiful downtown North Tay, New Brunswick, they have sent more graduates to the Nova Scotia Agriculture College, or more people have graduated from Nova Scotia Agriculture College off of that little street than any other street in the province of New Brunswick. We have the former editor of the Windsor Star in Ontario is an SHS grad. We have captains of industry like Green Arms Earl Brewer, who are SHS graduates, and the list goes on, and I could talk about all kinds of different areas, but I want to focus in on one, the Department of Natural Resources. So in this Stanley area, we're all quite close to the natural resources of the area. In fact, this Stanley area is where three of the province's 10 crown licenses converge. And there are a great many people in the community that have an interest in the outside world, the world around them, and so on and so forth. If you were to go to the Department of Natural Resources, and you were to look at an organizational chart of that department, you would find that the senior staff in that department is dominated by Stanley High graduates. We have names like Foreman and Logan and Bartlett and Selleck and McFarland and the list of Gullison, and the list goes on. And so I just want to single in on that one particular area of where Stanley graduates are making a significant contribution. And that may not have happened had the teachers of the area not recognized that the natural resource aspect of our lives is important to the people of this area, and they fostered that interest in natural resources with the math classes and the science classes and whatnot. So I focus in on that as something that I would ask humbly that you consider, because if the staffing level drops below a certain area, again, it may make that customized education, that thinking outside the box kind of education that Stanley residents have always enjoyed and benefited from, and has the province of New Brunswick as well, it may cause that to cease to exist, and it would be a great loss. So we're making a contribution on the public policy level. But we're also making a significant contribution in terms of the go-forward economy of the province of Nebraska. We have, in the Sisson project, the world's largest deposit of tungsten. It's slated to employ 250 to 300 people once it's up in operation. The company have worked very hard thus far to hire people from the local area and put their money where their mouth is. And I'm hoping and expect that will continue. And even if it doesn't mean a major influx of people coming in from away, it gives the young people who are here now a reason to stay. And that's something that they don't have right now, because there aren't a lot of job opportunities in there. You get out of school, you get your education, you want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, you want to start your life. And in order to do that, you need a well-paying job. For the first time in a very long time, Stanley may be poised to offer our young people those well-paid jobs. And so it would seem a little short-sighted to me to make a change at this particular time. And if I can extend that argument to the other schools that are being considered right now. So Stanley is about, from where we are right now, we're conveniently located about half an hour from the Sisson project. The Bath School, we'll say it's about 40 minutes from the Sisson project. With Coles Island, they would be 20 minutes away from the current potash mine and about 15 minutes away from the proposed new potash mine. So all three schools are in resource-driven areas that are going to make a significant contribution to the long-term well-being, the long-term GDP growth of the province of New Brunswick. So I just ask that be considered when we're making decisions, or when we're clawing back resources from the very areas that may well be contributing the resources to the provincial economy going forward. So I'd ask that you consider that in your deliberations as well. I also wanted to talk a little bit about precedents. And we have a few precedents here in the area in terms of schools that have been slated for closure. And rather than a black and white yes or no answer, there's been some gray. And that gray has often come in the way the deck decides to address the issue under its consideration. And I cite the example of Juniper, where I believe the 409 policy was actually delayed for a period of time in the interest of giving the community a greater opportunity for public participation in the process. And that's going back to my earlier statement about the particular time of year that all of these deliberations have taken place, because it's been very problematic to hold meetings and to get people out to the meetings and to get people engaged in the discussion of what the proposed go-forward plan would be. So that's Juniper. So we can look at some place like the Douglas School. Now in Douglas, the situation was a little bit different. Ultimately, that structure was aging. It was built in 1873, and it simply could not accommodate the students' needs, the educational needs going forward. But the decision was made by the DEC to allow that school to continue until such time as the physical plant failed. And in Douglas, that gave them a lease on life of a couple more years until ultimately the septic system failed and decisions had to be made and the school was closed. Another precedent is the community of Millville. So in Millville, the recommendation was made that perhaps the Millville school should be closed, given the fact that it was so close to the Nakawik School District. going back to Mr. Fullerton's comments around boundaries and how they need to be looked at, the district in that instance made the decision to leave the school open. So where I'm going with all of this is that there are options. The decision doesn't have to be yes or no. It doesn't have to be black or white. There could be some common ground found. And I'd cite what's going on in Coles Island right now as a potential area for consideration. And in Coles Island, the request was made. We've heard a great deal in the throne speech, in the State of the Province address, about the 10-year education plan. So the province has touted that there will be a release of a 10-year education plan that's going to be the guiding document for education over the next decade. Is it possible for us to wait until that plan is released before any decision is made around a go-forward plan here in Stanley? That's what the community of Coles Island is asking, that their decision be stayed until such time as the 10-year plan comes out, and I would suggest that it may be a prudent course of action for us to look at here as well. So we've heard that a 10-year plan is coming. Is it possible to delay the amalgamation talks until such time as we see how Stanley may fit in to that longer 10-year plan? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions from the council?
I hear a lot of comments about repurposing buildings, like interdepartmental, for example, like the school like Coes Island. I don't know if there's any talk with that, or do you hear anyone talk about repurposing, maybe having part school, part some other department taking charge or looking at it?
I mean, certainly that's an option. You have the building in the community. Why not use it for a community purpose? Whether that be whether it be policing or whether it be some type of adult learning, whether it be some type of after-school program, and there are a number of after-school programs that are being run out of this building at present time. So it's serving this community well. Perhaps there's an opportunity for the same thing in people's life.
Could you speak in more detail to the System Mind project in terms of what you know about the next steps, or when we might all know if that project is going to move any closer to fruition?
Well, I want to start my comments by saying I'm absolutely not qualified to answer that question. However, that's never stopped a politician before. The process that's taking place right now would anyone else care to answer the question? Okay. So I'm going to turn things over to Corinne Arsenault to give us and she's with the system project. God bless you.
We are currently still in the environmental impact assessment process. That is a provincial and a federal process. So they work together, but they're separate processes. So we, at the moment, are waiting for the province to deem our environmental impact assessment report as final. At that point, it will go out for public consultation, after which they get us something like anywhere from 45 to 90 days, they decide on the process to issue acceptance or, you know, there's a back and forth process there. So we're looking at several months of this process, but we are still moving, and we're moving in a positive direction. So Does that answer your question? Is that what you're... We're not looking at not knowing for 2 or 3 years down the road. It's something that should happen.
Six to 12 months?
That would be a realistic expectation for sure.
Thank you.
May I just add one more thing to that? Now that you've got the technical piece of it down pat, the tungsten mine proposed at Sisson is one of the... So most of the tungsten mines in the world have been purchased by our friends in Asia. And North America, Western Europe, is somewhat starved for the resource. Because if Asia decided to feed its own needs first, there wouldn't be opportunities for North American and Western European production. So with that in mind, it has helped with the raising of funds and an interest in North America to fund the project, because it would give us a stable, reliable source of raw material. And just to give you an idea of the size of the project, tungsten deposits are typically quite small. This is the world's largest deposit. The world's second largest deposit is only 60% the size of this ore body. So it is a very significant resource on our doorstep, not that far away from development and being able to explore.
Anyone else have a question? All right, thank you. Just a couple of things. We are saving all the PowerPoints, and they will be included in the final report that the deck will receive. We do plan to post them on the website. If you don't want the PowerPoints that were presented here, in terms of you as the author, to be on the website, please let Mr. McTimony know. Also, if you would like your speaking notes to be added to the report, which we will receive, please give them to me or Mr. McTimony as well. So, with that, we will conclude with... I guess an appreciation for these presentations. I think the data was excellent. The presentations were excellent and certainly beneficial to us. We do want to mention that the 2 times that we were here, obviously the hospitality and kindness was very much appreciated, including the meals. And so we thank you for that. And thank you for obviously being here and participating and helping us in this process. So with that, thank you for coming. And if you have any individual questions, there's always people hanging around. So again, thank you for being here and being a part of this process. And thank you to our council members.